And you know what witnesses are supposed to have? Even like the witness in court, you know what they're supposed to have? And that's what we're going to talk about today. A testimony.
We're going to talk about that, but I want to read this scripture to you, then we're going to do something neat, okay?
So I want you to pay attention. So if you're good, quiet, and paying attention, you may be the ones that get to help me out, okay? Romans chapter 14. I'm going to read some verses to you. Verse 17 through 19. Here. This is what it says. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves the Messiah in this way is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Okay, so that kind of tells us what we're supposed to do. So, all right, I need four volunteers that can write pretty good. Okay, let's see. Let me have Austin, Luke, Ryan, and Andrew. You guys, come on up here. Andrew, come here, buddy. That's what I want you to do. And I'm going to be the easel here. I want you to write the word testimony. Okay, I'm going to have to spell it. Okay? You start right here. T. Like that. The E. No, the E. S. And another T. How about I? Okay, Jill. O. N. Testimony, and he wrote it in crayon. When you think about who usually writes your crayons? Little kids, right? Smaller kids. So guess what's the difference? When we have our testimonies, little kids, they start off young and easy. They're prominent, they're good, but sometimes simple and to the point. Okay, guys? All right, now, next thing we want to do here, okay? All right, I want you to use this. And I want you to use the same thing. Okay? Write the same thing. Right underneath here. Testimony. You have it right there. Okay? Nope, we're going to do it just like this. E. 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 S. Another T. I. M O N Y. Okay. Now, some Christians have testimonies like this. It's there, but guess what? Can you see it?
No, I don't.
So it's kind of like that chalk. Some Christians have those kind of testimonies. It may be there on the paper, but nobody else can see it. Okay. Now, all right. Who's not allowed here? Austin, come here.
He is.
Use this pencil right here. Okay? Same thing. Right underneath there. Start writing. Oh, what happened to you? It broke. Sometimes our testimony is a little dull and it needs sharpened. Now try this one. Same thing. Looks better. Sharp pencil is always better than dull. And sometimes our testimonies get dull. They need to be revitalized in the Holy Spirit so that other people can see them, right? Okay. So we see that kind of testimony. And then there's another kind of testimony that was like what was in the scriptures, right? And what did it say? It needs to stand out. So, same thing, right underneath here.
is your testimony, boys and girls, with you, is your testimony, what's it like? Somebody listen, does other people in your schools and your neighborhoods know that you live for the Lord? Or they doubt that? Okay? Alright? So think about that. Alright, we want everybody to know that we're St. Louis Cardinal fans this week, right? So we're in our jerseys, we're cheering for the Cardinals. So let me ask you this, do we want to make sure everybody knows that we are a child of Christ? That's what our testimony is. Okay? Alright. Alright, so now let's think about that as we get stand with me as we read God's word this morning in preparation to really see God and feel his presence, really get close to him. I think it's always important before we get into God's word, his message that he's laid before us, to focus on him. Listen to his word, but feel his spirit move in your life as I read. This morning, Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 through 30, the scriptures that speak of the first institution of the Lord's Supper by Christ himself. And I want you to really focus on Christ and try to hear Christ speaking this to you as he did the disciples so many years ago. Verse 26 of Matthew 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, from this moment, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in a new way in my Father's kingdom with you." After singing psalms, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let us pray and focus on God today and his gift for us. Heavenly Father, as we stand before you, as we do and have done many times, Father, to observe the Lord's Supper service, Father, I pray that although the method may be the same, God, that the message invokes something different in us today. Everybody here is going through something different in their life. Everybody here has a crying out, a beckoning to you that is different one from another. But God, we all have one thing in common. We all need you. And we need you to be in our lives closer. Lord, as the songs that we've sung, in a world like what we have today, we need our Savior that much more, that much presence and powerful in our life. God, I pray that you speak to us through the word that you've implanted on my heart and through the observance of your Son's sacrifice and giving of himself to us. God, let our eyes be open, let our ears be open, but Father, most importantly, let our hearts be open to the movement of your Holy Spirit, Father. Move within us. Let us not quench your spirit, but be uplifted and convicted by your spirit, Father. Speak while we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you will, you can go ahead and be turning in your scriptures, if you have them, to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7 through 11. But before we get there, we think about the sermon title that was in your bulletin, Under the Covenant. And as I was in the office preparing for this message, thinking about the Lord's Supper service, thinking about all the things that we're under. All of us here at probably right now are under pressure in one aspect or another. Some of us may be under financial burdens, family burdens. Some of us may be under time constraints, but all of us are under something. And we think about being under the covenant. We think about the words that I just read from Matthew 26, what that meant, the establishing of the new covenant, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ given to us, and we know what's above it, the grace of God. But what does that mean for us? What is under the covenant? Not just the things that we benefit, but our responsibilities. And I was thinking about that this week, that we're given God's forgiveness, rightness with him and his grace. One of my favorite songs I listened to about 30 times in my office this week, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. And the more that I felt it, the louder I turned it up, you know, to think about that. Grace greater than our sin. But what obligation do we have under this scripture? And I was thinking about this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 15. This is the rereading of the law. That's what Deuteronomy means. As Moses was reading the law to the Israelites as they were getting ready to go into the Promised Land, again, to remind them of where they were, and most importantly, to remind them of the need that they need above all needs, more than their clothing needs, their physical needs, but their need for God in every aspect of their life. And that's what Moses was reminding the people here. Right as they were preparing to enter into the Promised Land, Moses brings the law back to their minds, and most importantly, to their hearts, to feed their desires. Because sometimes our hearts desire things apart from God or in addition to God, not just the things of God and God alone. Something that I have to try to train my heart through the Holy Spirit, not to add things to God,
but under God have things given to me and multiply my family, friends, so forth. But I want you to pay attention to a few things I'm going to read in these verses. I want you, when I read, to think about the warnings that Moses gives to the people through the Holy Spirit here. A couple of things you're going to hear here. Not to be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. And that kind of ties into conjunction with our world hunger offering as well. As many of you may be familiar with statistics and stuff, the world hunger offering has significantly dropped in its contributions. Fewer people giving to that, or the ones that are maybe not being able to give as much, but the needs are greater and greater and greater as we read, and not just in foreign countries, but right here in our own neighborhoods, in our own communities, maybe even in our own families. We hear of people that a few years ago, maybe even a few months ago, were doing well in their jobs, and now things have happened, and they're on the end of needing assistance and help. We must have an open hand in our lives. And that's another reminder that Moses is going to share to us through these scriptures. Because if you think about it, it took two open hands of Christ. They put two nails through those open palms of Christ. His hands were opened to receive that suffering that should have been ours. And we need to think about that this morning as we get ready to symbolize what Christ done for us. That even Paul said, that it wasn't recorded in scriptures, but he said, Christ said, it is better to what? To give than to receive. That was Christ's mindset, his heart set, as we see before us. And we're reminded of the great gifts that God has given to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Those scriptures, Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 through 11, this is what he says. And this is amongst the community of believers. So keep this in mind here. He's not just talking to the outsiders. He's talking to the Israelites, those chosen of God. Verse 7, he says, if there is a poor person among you, one of your brothers within any of your gates in the land the Lord your God has given you, you must not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. And the imagery that comes to my mind is we're clinging on so much to all the things that we got. Guess what? We can't give anything because we're holding on to it. We got clenched fists, tight fists. It's not open-handed. People can't take out of what we need because it's tight-fisted. You know, maybe sometimes we've jokingly, you know, maybe a daughter or a granddaughter or a son or whatever, we handle money, they want a $20 bill, we take it and then hold on to it and kind of play a little tug-of-war there, kind of jokingly. Sometimes we do that as Christians. Moses says not to do that, to have an open hand and an open heart. Instead, you are to open your hand to him and freely loan him enough for whatever he need, whatever his need he has. Be careful that there isn't this wicked thought in your hearts. The seventh year, the year of canceling debts, is near, and you are stingy toward your poor brother and give him nothing. He will cry out to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty. And many of you are familiar with some of the Levitical law there in the seventh year, the year of Jubilee, all the debts and stuff. So he's saying, don't use that as motivation. Maybe it's getting close to that seventh year and you loan and say, uh-oh, I'm not going to get that full money back because here in a year, that debt's going to be free. He's saying, be careful your motivations, why you give things. Christ went on in the new covenant to say, give to those who can't pay you back. Give to those that you don't expect to pay back, that couldn't pay you back even if they wanted to. That is the ones that we should be giving to. Give to him and don't have a stingy heart in verse 10. When you give, and because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you do because of your motivation and your heart to God. For there will never cease to be poor people in the land. That is why I'm commanding you, you must willingly, and notice what he says here, you must willingly open your hand to your afflicted and poor brother in your land. Have an open heart and an open mind, just as we see here. He said, well, that's Old Testament. How's that tie into the New Testament? It's exactly. The New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. The New Testament is even a deepening to the Old Testament, because how many times did Jesus tell us to care for the poor? Those that were struggling. the two testaments, the old and the new, they're tied together under the blood and bread of Christ. Now, this morning, I want to set a challenge before you. As we get ready to observe the Lord's Supper, and of course, this is a memorial here in the Baptist setting. We believe in open communion. Those of you that are believers in Christ, you're more than welcome to take it this day. So I say this, the blood was, the bread, the body was given, broken for you. The blood was given for you, each one of us. And if you are a believer in Christ and you understand what this means, you're more than welcome to take these elements as the deacon passes them around. The other thing that it does tell us, and we'll get to that here in just a second, that we are to take a look at ourselves before we come to the Lord's Supper table. And I'll read those scriptures out of 1 Corinthians. Before I do, when the deacons get ready to come around here in just a couple of minutes, to take, and I know this kind of breaks habits for Baptists especially, when they get ready to pass the little bread around, do something different. Instead of taking it with your pinch or claws, hold your hand over. Just let them drop it in the palm of your hand. And think about that open hand that we just talked about, that Moses said that we should have. Because we have an open hand, not only can somebody put something in there, but if somebody needs something, guess what? It's open. It's open to them. There's people out there that need us because they need Christ. And we are the hands and the feet and the body of Christ, fitted under the head of Christ that gave himself for the church. Isn't that what it says in Ephesians? That part he says, hey, husbands, you're supposed to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Who is the church? You are the church. Christ gave himself for you. Are you willing to give yourselves for others? Because he gave himself for you. Be reminded of that. Now, at this time, I want to read scripture to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through 32. And I pray that you heed these words this morning. Then after I finish reading these scriptures, we're going to open up the altars here. If you need to forgive a brother or let something off of your heart so you can clearly and cleanly come to God and realize and be able to take the full benefit of what this is about today, you come. You come. Come to the altar. Kneel. Pray. Come to Christ. Help him to show your heart what it means. It's not just a ritual of the church, not just a tradition of the church, but something that's meaningful. If you have something to prevent you from having that meaning today, come during this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through 32 says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in this way. He should eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. If we were properly evaluating ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we may not be condemned with the world. Look within. Look within right now. So for just a few moments, reflect on that. If you need to come to the altars, you come. Come. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Then we'll just have time of silence and meditation. Then we'll go into the Lord's Supper service. Father God, quiet not just the sanctuary from noise, but quiet our minds, quiet our hearts from racing and running, and just to be still and know that you're God. God, let this be more than just our quarterly fellowship of the Lord's Supper. Let today be moved by the greatest gift of all. While we were yet sinners, you gave your Son for us. His body was broken and bruised and battered. His spirit was torn apart by betrayal and mocking and scourging. But God, his message and his mission stayed true to you. He loved the world that he gave himself for me, for everyone here. Let us be reminded of that. And let nothing get in the way of that now. Let us see and understand exactly what this means. Father, speak to us and through us through this time, Father. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
You to remember what your life was before Christ. And I want you to be reminded of what your life is now with Christ and what your future with Christ will be as well. We read these scriptures to you here, and we'll read each scripture, and then the deacons will bring around each element one at a time. And then as all the elements are passed out, then at the end we'll take each element in unison together. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Take this cup and remember this is Christ's blood shed for you. Now in conclusion, I want to reread these entire scriptures and you think and pray about what Christ has done. And I pray you truly felt his presence and understand what his sacrifice is for you. And that it challenges you to sacrifice your life as a living sacrifice for him. For I received from the Lord that what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. When you think about that, does that give you joy that he's coming again? Or do you have a little doubt and a little worry? If you have some doubt and worry, come to the Lord. The second coming of Christ should be thought of with triumph and jubilation and happiness to those of us that know and have Christ, but to those who do not, it is a time of terror and tribulation. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself properly evaluating ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we may not be condemned with the Lord. As we close, let's stand and go into our time of invitation. As the music plays and as the words are on the screen, I want you to do something. Sing yes. But I want you to focus on the movement of the Lord. If he stops you from singing and brings you up the aisle, don't get a hold of those pews ahead of you. Get that white knuckle syndrome. Let go and move. If God is moving you, you want to be where God is taking you to. Don't stay where you are apart from God. Come to him. Maybe a renewal. Remember the children's church a few minutes ago? Honestly ask yourself, which one of those are yours? Is it the broken pencil? Maybe the white chalk? Maybe the one in crayon, new beginner level? Think about that. Now, where do you want your testimony to be? You want it to be powerful? You need the power of God. Come to him. You've heard God's word spoken. You've seen God's sacrifice commemorated here. Now, respond to God's word. Think about the ultimate sacrifice Christ has given you. If you remember that,